I'm not sure who's to blame this time, but I think it was us all to blame for eating too long at the interval, which is why we've went on a bit. So don't be blaming me if we go on. It's blame yourself for enjoying the dinner too much. I, at that point, it would be wrong of me not to say that the food was lovely, wasn't it? And quite often we take for granted, in Scotland we call it the purvey, but it would be wrong of me not to make mention. You know, some people think that the preachers have a very hard job speaking, but the pressure that we have and the pressure that primarily the sisters had preparing the food today, it's immense too, because the buck stops with them. But I'm sure you will join with me to say that the food was lovely, and I'll not ask for a show of hands what you liked the most, but I think it was excellent. I would just also maybe say, my wife and I, over quite a few years now, we've seen the kindness of the saints in a very unique way. When I was part-time, I was still working 2 days a week, and what we have seen from people all over the world is not just, and I know this is almost a taboo subject for full-time workers, but I'm going to say it anyway because I think it needs saying. We've not just seen giving, we've seen sacrificial giving by families, by individuals, by older people. And we can't put into words how deeply we appreciate the kindness and love. And to the young ones here, I've been in your position and I was in full-time employment. Can I urge you, when you're young, don't trifle with your giving to God. That's not an invitation to give to me. But do not trifle with your giving to God. Start young to sacrificially give to God. And I promise you, you will never regret it. It's so worthwhile being generous to God. Because remember, he's given us everything, hasn't he? Now, just for a little while, we're going to jump. We're going to be doing a wee bit of jumping about this evening. So if our brother feels tired earlier, he'll be exhausted by the end of the meeting because we're going to be jumping in the plane 2 or 3 times. But I would like to just speak primarily about Hope by the Roadside, which I made mention. It's the public display of God's word. My wife and I started it. It was started just with a very simple desire to spread the good news of the gospel through the display of God's word. It started with one billboard in Ayrshire in Scotland, which is still present, and it's just continually grown quite significantly, and it's been quite an undertaking for us as a couple, but we have time and time again seen the goodness of God every step of the way. I could fill hours, as sure my brother and my sister could also, fill hours of seeing God's hand at work, and it really is a great reminder, the God that we serve. But we're going to jump back into Uganda very briefly. I didn't really make mention in the early part, Uganda is primarily an English-speaking country. So whether it's the Bible exhibition, whether it's preaching open air, or the Bible billboards, primarily we're putting them out in English. Anyone under the age of 50 will speak English fluently. I can speak Lugandan enough to get by a very short gospel message, nothing fancy, and I'm not going to try and impress you by my Lugandan because the Scottish accent butchers it anyway. It's quite ironic, even when I speak in English, the Ugandans occasionally tell me that I need to use my English better, which is quite ironic that it's our language and they're telling me I'm not doing it right. But anyway, we have the opportunity, there's an open door to display God's word, not only in the UK, but also in Uganda. This is on the main road to the international airport. Now, originally when we started, the complicated situation of the governments, the councils, and the corruption within the government meant that the only feasible way for us was to use an agency. Now, that was quite an expensive way of doing it because they got their cut. But there was no way we could navigate at that stage. So all of these billboards originally were going through an agency. However, About 18 months ago, we took the decision, Rachel and I, we took the decision to bring it in-house, everything. That meant negotiating with the government, negotiating then with the council, negotiating then with a fabricator, a printer, and then boys to erect it. We did it all in-house. Now, that has meant we have reduced our costs by 45%. Rather than reduce our cost by 45%, it's increased what we can do by 45%, because God has faithfully continued to provide for this work of Hope of the Roadside. So now we manufacture all our billboards, big and small, ourselves. We maintain them. You'll notice down the bottom left corner, there was a tear in one of them within 12 hours, where a chap travelled 6 hours, reprinted it and reapplied it. And this is what is going on in Uganda. We're taking a very proactive approach and doing it all ourselves. This was the second largest billboard in Uganda. Just to give you an idea, it's 12.6 metres long by 6.4 metres high. And there was the East African UN base. And just round the corner was the international airport. Just in here, well, I'm pointing over there, in here was the presidential state house. So every day we had any international traveller was coming past the billboard. 3,500 UN personnel were travelling past the billboard. And also Museveni, who is the president, daily he drove by it twice as well. We just quite recently got pipped, and Coca-Cola outbid us for that billboard, which was quite annoying. So we've since moved it to the Chibuya roundabout in Kampala, which again is a very busy roundabout. This is what it looks like when President Museveni stops and does an impromptu press conference. This picture was actually taken from the official State House's Facebook page, their social media accounts. And Museveni, during this press conference, whatever you would call this, he just stopped the city because he felt like it, and he gave a wee speech. But he actually made mention of the Bible verse on there. And I was in the UK at the time. I got an email from NBC, who's the national broadcaster in Uganda. They wanted to know a little bit about us. They actually, one of the national papers then published an article about Hope of the Roadside and quoted me, which was quite interesting because I never gave the quote. But what they did quote was what I would have said. So it was a really, really weird one. I was kind of angry, but I was like, that's impressive they knew that's what I would have said. But the TV station, they asked if a representative from us would come on air sometime and give an interview, what we do and why we do it. So I was like, oh, this is my chance of fame. So the next time I was in Uganda, I contacted them and said, listen, I'm here if you still want it. And true enough, I think it was the 6 o'clock news I was on. I can't find a copy of it anywhere online, but I've never been invited back. So turns out I've got a face for radio rather than TV. But it was a great opportunity. And these kind of opportunities aren't abnormal in Uganda. It's quite strange, the opportunities you've got. I've got an email from the Prime Minister of Uganda, who's seen one of the billboards. The Minister of Minerals and Mining emailed me about one of the billboards as well. Things that you just would never think would happen can happen in a place like Uganda. So it's a real open door. President Museveni claims to be a born-again Christian. His wife, Janet Museveni, she also claims to be a born-again Christian. Actually, she's born again 7 times, believe it or not. So she's well and truly saved. But sadly, Uganda has a real issue with extreme Pentecostal views, charismatic, but the extreme. Men like Elvis Mumboyne, Ransom Mumba, Benny Hinn, they'll fly in, they'll fill Mandela Stadium in Kampala, and they'll use filthy phrases like, you scratch God's back, i.e. give God some money and he'll scratch your back. Absolute filth that's coming in. And I would say the greatest danger to the true gospel is this kind of gospel. It's not Islam in Uganda, nor is it atheism in Uganda. It's not Catholicism in Uganda. It's this going under the guise of the gospel. And what happens when these crooks leave behind a trail of just disaster? The people don't turn their back in the Pentecostal movement. They turn their back in God. They believe that God has failed them, rather than these crooks have failed them. So people that were once had an understanding of the Bible don't just turn their back in one aspect of it, turn their back in everything. And as a result, we then have to come along and teach from the scriptures from start to finish what the true gospel is and who God really is. And sadly, it's becoming less and less gospel and more teaching against this. Standing, Stephen Baker and I spent 4 days, 3 sessions each day, speaking out against apostles, prophets, sign gifts, the role of the female in the church, headship, all these things that you and I take for granted. We're on the offensive against it in Uganda, and it's a difficult, difficult job. We had 14 prophets, apparently prophets, came to speak out against what we were teaching, and they sat and they were noticeably angry at what we were teaching, because really we were pulling the rug from under them, and they didn't like it. So please pray for that. Now back to the billboards. This is some of the chaps that locally that help me with it. I'm standing about 8 feet behind them. So Stephen took a picture of me, and it doesn't put me in good light because I'm pointing, telling them what to do, and these poor lads are working in 32 degree heat. But it's just part and parcel of it. If you didn't oversee it, it could be put on upside down. So this is some of the newer designs that we have. These are ones that we've manufactured and printed, and all we do then is pay rental to the council each year, and then we maintain it ourselves. Previously, we were doing the agency fees, they were doing the maintenance, and they were then taking rental, charging me almost double for the rental, and then giving a cut, and etc. So it was a costly old job. These are locations in Uganda where we currently have billboards. Now, for instance, there's just one logo there, but there's two in each of these locations. Down in Kampala, there's about 14 billboards dotted about. And in Mbale, which is where Stephen and I were teaching, and in Busia, down in Barara, and also in Rukungiri, there is a number of billboards there. As well as that, we've been able to assist Josh and Kerry Kay in the DRC. They have liked the concept of Hope by the Roadside and asked if they could take it to Congo, and we agreed, obviously, and we were able to actually provide them some high visibility vests in French that they took out. And since then, these are a couple of the locations that's now been changed to this design, and we are just at the moment working on getting more designs printed and put up in Congo. This was a recent trip to Ethiopia. Robert Reavy asked if I would accompany him on a trip to Ethiopia. He's been considering the future of the work and just wondering if there would be some individuals that would have an interest in the work. He's safeguarding the work. And I went out on a trip with him. I assumed that the customs in Uganda at the airport would be similar to the customs in Ethiopia. Turns out Ethiopia is about 30 years ahead of Uganda. Uganda, you can pretty much take anything you want in whatever quantity you want. I normally take about 300 or 400 vests at a time into Uganda. I took 40 into Ethiopia just to test the water. And I got stopped by customs. They told me I was bringing in illegal contraband, which I think was a slight exaggeration. About 45 minutes of them talking to me in Amharic, which obviously I don't have a clue what they're saying, shouting at me for about 10 minutes. And then Robert Reavy talking to them on the phone for about 15 minutes. The guy then, or this girl, went and got the head guy. he came back and he negotiated the release of not only me and the vests, if I would give him 5 vests. So I'm still not really sure how I feel about that, giving someone, a corrupt customs guy, a Bible verse vest. But the reality was I was terrified. I never pay bribes in Uganda. I know this is quite close to a bribe, so I'm not fully sure. Robert Reevey technically negotiated it, so blame Robert. I was an innocent bystander. But really, the work out in Ethiopia, I don't have time to speak about it, but the work in Ethiopia is phenomenal. I was hearing our brother, and he made mention of one assembly by numerical form, and then the second one. Well, in Ethiopia, it's similar. This is called Ginchi 1, and there's Ginchi 2, 3, 4, and 5. I spoke at Ginchi number 1, and this was what was inside. It was packed to the rafters. On our way to Ginchi number 1, we dropped off brothers at 2, 3, 4, and 5. When we picked them up, the reports were they were all full as well on the Lord's Day morning. But my calculation by the population estimate that I have for Ginchi and the population in this assembly, I roughly estimate between 17 and 22% of the entire population were present at a gospel hall. I think that's marvellous. I really do. And as our brother has said more than once this evening, to God be the glory. Great things not only he has done, continues to do in different lands. For a couple of years now, I've been invited each year to have a series of gospel meetings in Manitoba for about 4 weeks in an assembly there. And while I was out, we had the Hope by the Roadside cap on, thinking what could be done. So we bought this trailer and put it on the side of the highway, interstate, whatever you call it. The Canadians are really easy to follow. They've just got one big road from east to west. So we were able to buy this, put a Bible verse on it, and put it at the side of the main road. As well, the assembly that I was at, this was the board that they have, which is good. There's nothing wrong with it. But they wondered if we could help slightly modernise it, make it a little more eye-catching. And what we came up with was magnetic panels that you could use for 3 months, roll them up, use them again for years and years to come. And this is what we have designed for them for different times of the year, Easter and just more generic ones that they now can replace and use them for several years. We've also created posters for outside of gospel halls, wherever, whether it's the UK or further afield, kind of following on from the idea of the Trinitarian Bible Society, the very well-used posters that have been designed and used widely for many years. We have just tried to make sure the Word of God is still at the forefront of all the designs, but just to slightly modernize it. And these are some of the designs that we have that are available, and we're constantly working on new ones. I got a contact or a call from a brother one day from St. Lucia, the Goulds, their missionaries out in St. Lucia. And again, they said, listen, we have heard about Hope by the Roadside. We're wondering if you can help us. We would like to put a billboard up, but we don't really know how to do it or what to do. Can you assist? So we were able to help with the negotiations at the government. There you need to negotiate with the government, then the council, then an agency. It's quite a roundabout way. But we were eventually able to put this up on the main road. Now, St. Lucia's a small island with small population, but they estimate upwards on 400,000 tourists visit St. Lucia each year. So what we did was we found a spot on the bus route. And we were actually offering last year a Hope by the Roadside mug to anyone that was on holiday in St. Lucia that got a selfie beside the board. I didn't actually know how busy the board was until someone told me that they nearly got run over trying to get a free mug. So if you're going to St. Lucia, just tell me you went and you'll get a mug. Don't feel you need to get a selfie because I don't want to be responsible for a death. Back home in the UK, as I mentioned, Hope by the Roadside started with one billboard here. And as the years have progressed, we have been able to, by the grace of God, really develop the work with billboards now fairly widely around the UK and Ireland. We're continuing to develop this work as well. For instance, this is a large electronic billboard in Liverpool city centre that we are able to take on at times. Obviously, if you had an unlimited bank account, you could do a lot more. So we are careful with what we're doing and how we do it. But this has enabled us to dip our toe in the water with electronic boards. We can pick our times, how often we have them up. And this has proved quite a successful avenue. As well as that, we've got three electronic bus shelters taken out in London at the moment. They look a bit like this with something like that on it. And again, similar concept. You can pick whether it's rush hour, morning and night, and how often you put them on. And these have been good, which we're trying to look at developing that also. This was the first billboard I made mention of on the M77. We have since actually put up solar lighting on it. Obviously, in Scotland, we have quite long, dark winters, as do you guys, to be fair. But it annoyed me that a lot of the day was in darkness and people weren't able to see the boards. So it's the only time I'm ever able to get away with saying this. I always hear people say next generation, and I've never been able to say it. But we got next generation solar lighting. It makes me sound very clever. It came from China, and it's not very next generation either, but it's they're very powerful solar lights. They're still not designed for Scotland. They are still designed for Africa and long sunny days, but they do give, on average, 6 to 8 hours extra illumination per day, which we feel is excellent value for money, and we're hoping to do that further around the UK with our billboards. This is one of the billboards up in the A9. Actually, it's getting these vinyls replaced this week. Just very briefly, I'll come back to that picture in a little while. This is one of the reasons why, if you know me, I'm very passionate about the public display of God's word, because we are, and I don't make light of this, I don't joke about it, we are under attack in our own nation. This is a phrase from the Quran. Make no mistake about it. There is an enemy at work in our own land, and it's a powerful enemy. Their budget is 110 times more than the budget of Hope by the Roadside. The society of humanists and the society of evolutionists, they got together, which is quite ironic that they don't always see eye to eye, but against the gospel, they'll unite. We've seen that in Scripture, haven't we? And they united to do a bus campaign. And the bus campaign said, there's probably no God, so stop worrying about it and enjoy your life. That was 89% funded by public donations. 89% came from public donations. That's the country we are living in now. I love the UK. And I love the opportunities we have in the UK. But brothers and sisters, we are under attack. Make no mistake about it. This isn't a playground. This is a war field. And we have the opportunity to fight back with the truth. And that's why I'm passionate about it. That's why we take every and any opportunity to publicly display God's word. No matter how hard it is, no matter at the cost it is, if the Lord provides, we'll go and we'll do it. And with that in mind, we took on, we've actually taken on 4 articulated trailers now in Yorkshire. This is on the A1M by a brother, Dennis Noon, a very faithful brother. I've never actually met him in person, but he had 2 of these, and he heard about our work, and he asked, he said, listen, I'm in my early 90s, and I can't get up anymore to clean the trailer. I really need some help, and we agreed to take on the financial burden of this and also to modernise them all, and we've since actually taken on another one as well. This is one of them, this is another one, and this one, actually, quite interestingly, the farmer contacted me to say, we've got another trailer up here, it's a company that's just went bankrupt, would you be interested in it? And with my business mind on, I renegotiated the terms of this one, and took on the other one at the same time. And the idea is to divide a Bible verse between the two trailers and just really increase the size of it, because people doing 70 have a very short time to read a verse. So the bigger and bolder it is, the more chance they have of reading the verse. So something else that we have been able to buy about 6 years ago was a Sainsbury's delivery van. And it really came from the football stadium that's behind us. I don't care about football at all. I couldn't care less who wins. But what troubled me was at Ibrox, which is in Glasgow, the home of Rangers, there was at least 50,000 fans at every home game. Matter of fact, you can't buy a ticket to go to a Rangers home game because it's pretty much all season tickets. And that troubled me because I wondered what their spiritual condition was. So I approached the board of Rangers, quite sympathetic, and I said, listen, we would like to come with a gospel trailer, put it up and offer literature. And they said, listen, for health and safety, you can't do that. And to cut a long story short, I said to them, well, how can we? What can we do? And they said, well, technically, if you buy a van or a vehicle and you pay for a parking space, we can't stop you doing it. So I had to get behind a van. And the Lord opened the door, actually through the boss of Iceland Foods. We don't play tennis or anything together, but I know him from previous work things. And I contacted him and said, listen, I know Richard is a wee bit awkward. I don't actually want an Iceland van. I want a Sainsbury's van because they're taller. I said, would you have any contacts in the industry where I could get a Sainsbury's van? And he said, I'll put you in contact with the head of my leasing company. And this is not a word of a lie. The guy, he was a man by the name of Dylan, and he says, I do the fleet for two supermarkets. I do Iceland and I do Sainsbury's. And I said, well, I would really like a Sainsbury's van. And we were able to get a Sainsbury's van. He actually asked me, he says, I hear you're a friend of Richard Walker. And I was like, a bit of a stretch, but we'll go with it just now. He says, how much can you afford for the van? And I says, well, truthfully, I don't have anything just now, but I reckon I could get $5,000 plus the VAT. That van was going through the auction 6 years ago at $8,500 plus the VAT. And he accepted £5,000 there and then for the van. Actually, £5,000 including VAT, not plus VAT. So the Lord opened the door in a miraculous way. And we've been able to use this van in so many different ways. Not only at the outreach at Rangers, we do go to the other side. We go to Celtic as well. It's called Paradise. I didn't plan my colours that well, because blue is pretty Rangers. So you need to go with a brave face on to Celtic, because you can sometimes get... There was one night I was sitting at traffic lights. The Celtic fans came in a sea. There was thousands of them. And I'm not a coward, but I was sitting there going, this isn't great. Because our logo is orange, which was one of Rangers' strips. And the side of the van is bright blue, which is Rangers. And I'm sitting there going, I'm wearing a blue hoodie. This doesn't look good. And I'm not exaggerating. About 200 of them started rocking my van side to side. And I'm just sitting there going, I should probably ring my wife to say I love her. And thankfully, it was just a flood of police came and just formed a new road for me. It was as if the Lord had parted the sea again, and I was able to quite speedily disappear in the Bible van. I actually think I went for a coffee and just sat with my heart racing. Something else interesting that came across my way was our local professional football team is called Ayr United, and I wondered if there would be an opportunity to approach them and to put pitch side Bible verses. And I thought it was a fairly small chance, but I would give it a bash. So I met them, and quite a lot of our work is in the moment. You don't get much chance to think or calculate. You need to go with your big boy trousers on, because you're going to have to make a decision there and then. Within an hour, Rachel and I had actually taken out 8 pitchside billboards. We became Ayr United's 3rd biggest sponsor. So I'm not really sure how that happened, but it happened quite quickly. And we were able to put up pitchside billboards. We were also able to put up boards for the supporters going up into the stands as well. So when we thought that this may be possible, I decided to go one step further. And this was First Division. They're getting 2,000-3,000 people. I thought I'd give the Premier League a go in Scotland. The worst that can happen is to say no. So I went and met with Kilmarnock Football Club, who are Premier League. They're playing against the big boys, Rangers and Celtic. And again, we agreed to take out a board directly behind the goals. Actually, quite interestingly, the deal was done that they had no billboards left. They were all taken out, but they were willing to take away Glen's vodka for me to put a Bible verse on. Now, Glen's vodka is actually the official spirit of the SPFL. So they're contracted to display Glen's vodka behind the goals. So then I got a call one day and said, listen, Glen's vodka's kicked up, that a Bible verse is going to replace them. So we're going to need to move our biggest sponsor, who actually owns like 60% of Kilmarnock Football Club, a man called Billy Bowie. That's his company. And it's a big yellow board. We need to move him to then move the vodka to then put you in place. And true enough, they did. And we now have this Bible verse beside the Glen's vodka, directly behind the goalposts of Kilmarnock Football Club. That has been featured on Sports Scene on TV. It's been featured on their social media pages and different things. Another thing we did was we paid to get these panels put in Rugby Park. That's the football club. The stadium's called Rugby Park. As the fans go up to their seats, they can have their phone out and they scan the QR code, takes them straight through to our website. They fill out a form, we post them out a Bible. Everything from start to finish can be filled out in about 15 seconds, and then they will receive a Bible free of charge. So that's something new. We're exploring other football clubs. We're praying about the opportunities, and we're seeking God's guidance. The van also we use on a weekly basis as much as we can, as much as I have availability. And we go into the local town. We set up a table with literature, a couple of flags, and we really are just a large billboard displaying the Word of God. Quite often we'll leave it like that. I wouldn't like to think I'm a lazy person, but sometimes we put our fingerprints on God's work. Sometimes it's nice just to step back and to allow God do his work. And we quite often will go and have a walk around, try and speak to someone in a different street. And it's quite interesting to see the amount of people that feel freer just to pop up, take a gospel leaflet, take a John 3:16 bag, without getting interrogated by a big Scottish guy wanting to ask them 100 questions. As well as that, we try every summer to visit some of the islands in Scotland. We'll set up a table. It's actually making me sweat, think about all what I've got to do again this year. But that's the plan again, God willing, this year. The interesting thing about the van is I sleep in the back of it when I go to the islands. Now, it's like a flask. It keeps hot things hot and cold things cold. So when it's a hot night, the van's very hot in the back. And I disconnected the fridge unit because I was worried one night I was over somewhere at Arran or Ailsa Craig, somewhere like that, and I turned the fan on, the fridge unit on, and I then wondered if I was going to die of carbon monoxide poisoning. So I got up that night and disconnected everything because I was afraid that my wife was going to find me 3 days later lying in the back of the Bible van. But we try to reach places with the gospel, with the Word of God, that isn't often reached, and some of the islands aren't often reached, and it's our desire just to try and make the most of time when we're here. We've got a short amount of time down on earth, and it's our desire to make the most of it by sharing the good news of the gospel. I, as a father, am living in a very unique time off my life, because to my little girl and to my little boy, Daddy's Bible van is really cool. Now, I know that's going to disappear soon, but my little girl will ask me to take her to school in Daddy's Bible van. See, when I think about that, I think that's lovely. And I think it's a lovely example for you and I to have that childlike lack of care, what people think. We were driving past Glasgow Airport a few days ago. They were taking me to the airport to go to Africa. And my little girl came across the large car park of cars. And we've been doing drive-ins for a few years now. And my wee girl looked at the cars and says, "Oh, Daddy, would you like to preach to all those cars?" And I said, "Oh, indeed I would, darling." And she says, "I don't know why we don't get so many cars coming. Everyone needs to hear about Jesus." And I thought to myself, isn't that lovely? She's not ashamed, and she doesn't understand why people don't want to know. And brothers and sisters, if we could take a leaf out of the children's book and not be ashamed, she tells people. Apparently, the primary two teacher told me that my little girl was trying to teach the rest of them a Sunday school chorus. I think it fell flat on its face, mind you, but it's lovely, you know, to look at the children and to cherish that time, because I'm pretty sure coming up soon, she's going to rather walk the 3 miles across fields than be dropped off at school in Daddy's Bible van. So I'm cherishing it when I have it. This is the Royal Highland Show, the agricultural show. You'll know that agriculture is still in my blood. The farming community is still in our heart. And we have tried for years, even with our business influence, tried to get into the Royal Highland Show to have a stand to give out literature. There's 194,000, on average, people attend the Royal Highland Show every year. We've been knocked back for over 15 years. We, the family business that I used to work for, have 5 stands there with what we thought quite a bit of influence. Turns out they really don't like the gospel, and they were willing to lose us if we wanted to force a Bible stand. So the next best thing I thought, if they wouldn't let me in this show, I'll go to the entrance of the show. So I used the Rangers motto again and bought a car parking pass. I thought, instead of taking a car up, I'll take the van up and park it. So I left home at 3:30 in the morning. I got there for 5:30 to move a couple of wee barriers, but the Lord understood. Moved a couple of barriers. If I'm truthful, don't be angry with me. I pushed a trailer back as well so I could take it space. So I think probably someone looking for their boots and stuff were a bit confused why their trailer was further away. But me and a friend pushed a trailer back so we could get a prime spot. That was at 6:30 in the morning. The show didn't open till 7:30. So people had no choice but to look at the Word of God. And that was there for 4 days. As well as that big blue tent over there, there was a Biffy Clyro concert on as well. So when these farmers left, the people went to the concert tent, whatever you call it, and the van got a double whammy of people going to see it. During lockdown and since, we have been able to do drive-in gospel meetings. I've only got about 4 minutes left if I'm going by 45 minutes, but it is my last opportunity here, and if I don't get invited back, so be it. And if you invite me back in 5 years, you'll forget that I was over my time, so it's okay anyway. We've been doing some drive-in gospel meetings over the last about 4 years or so. This was at the Ayr Cattle Market, early 2020. And the Lord blessed in salvation. A young man came. He made a profession. And then he actually said the same night he made the profession, he says, "I need to bring my mum along." And he, true enough, the following week, he brought his mum along. And a little while later, his mum got saved. His mum's now baptised and in the local assembly in Ayr. I think that's marvellous. That's the power of the gospel, brothers and sisters. And never lose sight of the transforming power that the gospel has and has continually shown us. That was the year later. And then I was invited down last year during the summer to have gospel meetings in Fleetwood with Neil and Christine Hartridge, and they've actually asked if I'll go back this year as well, God willing. Last year I had a series of drive-in meetings in Kilwinning in Ayrshire, And I'll speak about some of the other series that I was a part of last year as well. Another very unique opportunity was this one. This is in Times Square in New York. I came across an opportunity to take out a billboard. It was 18,000 square foot. To put that into context, it's 10 stories high by 10 stories wide. And the Guinness World Record book, or people, contacted me to say if I paid £3,000 for their consultancy fees, I would get a certificate for the world's largest billboard. Now, I don't think there's much competition for that at the minute, but I decided not to pay just to get a bit of paper. So I just tell people anyway that I've got an unofficial Guinness World Record. So that's quite nice. But I'll just... this one, let's see. I don't think I can play this, can I? There's a video here. What do we do here now? Can I escape that? No. Don't know. I can't play videos here, can I? No. Jack, I'm...
Can you hit escape on the laptop?
Uh-huh. Jack. It won't matter. Do you know what? We're all right. Don't worry. It's fine. No, it's fine.
You sure?
I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. They'll soon kick me out.
There.
I'll get hunted soon. Anyway, there's this one was meant to be a video of the Bible verse coming up. And anyway, if you want to see it, you can go onto our Facebook page and you can see it there. We've also been able to take out two electronic billboards in the Gold Coast in Australia. And now that's actually, I meant to change that. It's two large billboards in northern Johannesburg. This is what they look. This was one up to Christmas that has now changed. And this was the other one in northern Johannesburg that we were able to take out, which has been a great development. New Zealand, we're struggling with. I'd ask you to pray for that. We're not able to get in at the moment to New Zealand, but continue to pray for it. Just very briefly. As I made mention of, Hope by the Roadside started with one billboard, and seeing God's hand at work has enabled this little work that Rachel and I just tinker away at ourselves to now be in 12 countries over four continents with at the moment 42 billboards, seven mobile trailers that have been given out to different assemblies around the UK and Ireland, the van and also three cars. It's estimated, sorry if you can't see that, it's estimated that 5.5 million people per day pass these billboards. So please pray for that. Please pray for the continuation of this work. My wife, we had a car, and we decided to sell the car and to buy a car and to wrap it in Bible verses. And that mini there is now my wife's car. Josh and Kerry Kay, when they were in Congo, they saw it and they said, listen, we want to sell our car, and would you wrap a car if we bought it? And I said, well, yeah, no problem, so long as you buy a Mini, because it'd be nice to have a wee fleet. So they bought this Mini Countryman, and then this was the original Mini that I bomb about in locally, go carefully, and sorry, that was the wrong word. So these are just another opportunity. It's a catchy way to... draw someone's eye. You'll know with me that people are constantly bombarded with advertisements, and our motto at Hope by the Roadside, as and when we can, will not do it unless it's done to the best of our abilities. And the only competition in this sort of sector is Red Bull with their Minis, and they look amazing. And we thought, even though their budget is billions, literally billions of their worldwide budget, if we only have three cars, we'll do it as good as them, and we'll do it as sharp and as eye-catching. And it's really taken a leaf from what Eddie Stubbert said in his book, the title of his book, Only the Best Will Do. You know, we drive pretty nice cars, don't we? And we like to wash our car, and we all have good enough clothes. Well, only the best will do it for God. And woe unto us, brothers and sisters, and I say this carefully, because we are very reliant on the kindness of God's people, but woe to us if we give him second best in any element of our life.
He deserves the best of, whether it's our finances, our time, and the best of our life. Young ones, give the best of your life to Christ. Don't give him the dregs of your life. Don't leave serving the Lord till everything else in your life is figured out, because you'll never do it. Because before you're married, you'll be looking for a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Then you'll get married, and then you'll be thinking about children. You'll be thinking about your career. Brothers and sisters, put it all aside and serve him. Make him first. Make him first. And whatever you seek to do, I promise you, you'll never regret it. The kids, I think this is classed as child labour, but we start them off young in the maintenance. I'm hoping to get Harry changing brake shoes pretty soon, just to keep the cost down. Now, very simply, we offer free Bibles within the UK and Ireland only. We couldn't keep up with it if we were doing it out with the UK. But this is what we send out. So it's in a waterproof bag. We send out a Bible, a bookmark, a wee picture, a couple of pictures, a considering Christianity and an ultimate questions. Now, on a weekly basis, we are averaging between 15 and 35 Bible requests. We're now at the stage that we buy our Bibles in sort of 400 batches, and it's become quite an operation. Bear in mind, it's Rachel and I that do it all, so, as well as the other bits that we're tinkering in. So please pray for this. This is an average week of what we're taking to the post office. And it's really wonderful, because quite often, brothers and sisters, you and I, we have wrongly come to the conclusion that people in the UK don't want to know about God and don't want the gospel. Can I combat that tonight and say that's wrong? This here lady contacted us and said, I'd like a Bible. We sent her a Bible and we said to her, listen, there's a local church. It's actually where Steve Clegg and his wife goes. And she got back to us and says, I would actually like some Bible studies. So we said, this is the person local to talk to. And we had no further involvement other than we were praying for her. We then get this email several months later. I hope you're great. On Sunday night, in a long prayer to God, I repented, asked him for forgiveness, slowly and carefully imagined the crucifixion in as much detail as possible, and believed with my heart that Jesus died as the ransom for my sins so that I could be reconciled to God. To be doubly sure, I did the same again on Monday. There was an individual, came into contact with God's word, not us, came into contact with God's word, was put in contact with God's people, and was wondrously saved by God's Savior, Jesus Christ. Here was another man, 19 years of age. I was making a trip across the country last weekend, and I saw one of the roadside trailers that reminded me of Jesus and his love. Listen to this. I now believe that at 19, I am ready to accept Jesus into my life and live my life through Christianity. I don't own a Bible myself, and this was what struck me. I didn't know who to contact. There's people. Brothers and sisters, there's people out there and they don't know who to contact. And we take for granted, we assume that people knows what goes on in a gospel hall. We assume that they know. Brothers and sisters, people are coming and going into our communities all the time. And we can't take for granted past generations knowing what goes on in a gospel hall. But here was a young man of 19 and he didn't know where to get a Bible. What a privilege to put a Bible in his hand. This is in our own land. It's wonderful to hear about Uganda and to hear about Romania and to hear about how God is working, but he's at work at home. Don't forget home. Be praying for home. Be praying for a movement of God at home. We had a seed sowers distribution last year, distributed 20,000, followed by a spoke at 2 weeks gospel meetings that with the seed sower we gave a little invite to. This was the team of helpers that we had to distribute the 20,000. They all needed fed. It was a team of people to feed them. They're hungry boys in Scotland. But it was a great time. Again, Fleetwood, back there this year, was there last year. In September, I was with Stephen Baker for 2 weeks, gospel meetings. Then in my own area, I had 2 weeks of gospel meetings in Kilmarnock in October. as well as every month in the local village to where we live. It's about 3 miles from where we live. We have a monthly gospel meeting that I speak at to try and build in contacts from a two-week series we had last year. A couple of people came to them, shown interest, so we've kept that gospel meeting going on a monthly basis just for them. Someone said you can fish with a net and you can fish with a hook. Well, we are, in this case, fishing with a hook, where we're specifically targeting two individuals because, brothers and sisters, they're very precious to God. We also were able to go to the Blackpool air show and gave out bags, John 3 bags, and went to the air show, A-Y-R, air show, looks like this, and again, distributed bags. There was 240,000 people came to that as well. Now, lastly, this is me, and it's worth mentioning, and I'd love you to pray for this. Believe it or not, I was invited by Radio 2, BBC Radio 2, about 2 years ago to be a Pause for Thought contributor. I don't know if you listened to Radio 2. I never did until I was asked, and I felt I should. But they asked me if I would give three-minute gospel presentations on Radio 2, which is a wonderful opportunity. It's something I never thought would come my way. I really still don't believe how it came my way, but it's been wonderful. The week that the Queen died, they actually asked if I would come on and give a reflection on the Queen. They estimate that week, that Pause for Thought that was given, about 13 million people tuned in, and it's been downloaded on BBC Sounds about 1 point something million extra. So we're talking about huge figures, and we're talking about a guy that, if you were there last night, failed English. So it's really only God that put these two together, because I was the last person in a long line of people that would be a lot more suitable and equipped for it. But it's wonderful. I've been invited into the studio in London. I've done some of the recordings in London. I've done some of the recordings in Manchester Keys. I've met the producer. I actually met Helen Thomas. She runs Radio 2. I didn't know who she was. I was down for a Radio 2 reception last year. It was probably one of the most embarrassing moments of my life, so I'll share it with you. There was this lady, quite small of stature, and she was talking to different people, and she had a man in a suit near her. I didn't piece it together. Apparently that's her security. But I was like a fish out of water. I wasn't talking to anyone because I didn't know anyone. And this lady came up to me, and just as she came up to me and started talking to her, I had put in a full prawn vulavon, if you know what a vulavon is. So my mouth was full of pastry, and this lady started talking to me, and I'm like, oh, how you doing? Are you a Pause for Thought contributor? And she's like, no, I work for Radio 2. And I was like, oh that's fantastic. What's your role here? And she was like, I'm the head of Radio 2. Oh, I see. Oh, well, lovely to meet you. So thankfully, I didn't get fired. Apparently, Rachel said, I'm nicer when I don't know the people. So she said if I knew who she was, I would have put a bit of a front on. So apparently, it served me well that I didn't know who she was. I met her last month, and I knew who she was, and I made sure I didn't have any pastry in my mouth. But she, weirdly enough, she actually knew my name, which was quite amazing. But if you do want to listen to them, this isn't an advert for me. I don't care if you listen to them or not. You can go on to BBC website. This is amazing. I thought if I was ever going to be on BBC website, it'd be on Crime Watch. But you can actually go on to bbc.co.uk and type in Paul Jenkinson. And these come up, and they're on. They actually compile a book every couple of years off the best of Pause for Thoughts. I've not been told I'm in it, so maybe I'm not the best of Pause for Thought, but I'm hoping to get some royalties out of it soon. But please pray. It's a wonderful opportunity. The Lord has given this opportunity. I don't take it lightly. They give me subjects. I have to stick with the subjects. I have to try and preach from these subjects. The hardest subject to date was Star Trek. I had to preach from Star Trek. I never watched Star Trek. I've never watched Star Wars either. I spent about 8 hours just researching what Star Trek was. I and I then had to try and get the gospel in 3 minutes. So if you want to listen to one, that's a cracker to listen to, because I really pretend like I know what I'm talking about. So type in Paul Jenkinson Star Trek, and you'll be amazed at my knowledge. I had one night of no sleep for that, pause for thought. But it's estimated, on average, 2.5 to 3 million people listen live to that that segment of Radio 2 each day. So thank you. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your kindness. We really do, my brother and I, we can say together, we really do appreciate it. Sorry that I've went over my time. Sorry that you went over your time at dinner too. But I really do, I've really enjoyed being down with you.